Well, good evening. It's good to see you. I have had a fabulous day, and I hope you've had the same. We try to get up every morning, and we try to remember that this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. All of us go through difficulties in life. The news that you just heard that Mark gave is part of life itself. And as hard as it is for all of us to hear news of a loved one, it's something that reminds us again that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And I hope that that only awakens our spirits to the listening of God's Word as it's preached. Not because I'm preaching it, but because God has spoken. And that there will be a day when God will speak again. And you know what He's going to say? Rise. He's just simply going to say, rise. And as easily as He said, let there be light, the God of heaven will say, rise. And He will send His Son in the angelic host, and they will come and they will receive us to themselves, that where He is, there we may be also. And we anticipate that with every fiber within us, those of us who've named the name. We've bowed the knee here, and we've confessed the name here, so that when that day happens, we can say, Maranatha. Come, Lord. Hasten, Lord. I wait on You, Lord. I've been looking for You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You kept Your promise, and now home is where I'm going. And I'll tell you, when I do hear of words such as cancer or heart disease or diabetes and these other things that afflict us on this earth, it reminds us all the more of what life is going to be like in the next life. It was just 2 weeks ago, I wasn't sure I was coming. I'd had a hip replacement back in June, and then thought everything was going to go fine, and then all of a sudden there was a blood clot that got loose and went to the brain and caused a stroke and caused a blurred vision, and I wasn't able to see for a couple of months, not very well, couldn't read my Bible, couldn't do a lot of things, and all of a sudden life was upside down, inside out, and I didn't know what to do. A preacher with can't read is a hard guy to get along with. Just ask my wife. It was going to be tough, and I didn't know how life was going to be. But through all of that, I learned some great lessons about life. I learned some great lessons about dependency upon my God and about faith and what you have now, and don't take it for granted. And so each day I wake up and I take a deep breath and I give a good smile and I look up and I say, thanks, God, You are here for me again. And you've open the windows of heaven as You have promised, and You poured out blessings I can't even count. And I hope that that's how you feel about life each day. And I hope and trust that that's what we're going to talk about even this evening. What am I supposed to do here? Huh? Is that what I'm doing here? Is that supposed to be plugged in? Okay. He acted like I was stupid. You got to blame it on somebody. Blame it on the preacher. You know, I talk about this lesson, it's because I need it, and my memory desperately needs to be reminded of things in life. I don't know about you, if that's how you feel about certain things, about how you live your life, that God has a checklist for forgetful people because all of us are forgetful. If you recall in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, I'd like for you to get your Bible real quickly, and I want you to look with me at something. And I realize that tonight I've got this outline. You think that I'm going to preach on all those different charts there. And that's not the truth at all. I'm only going to preach on all of them but one. Now, we're going to go through those. Those are, again, for your take home and for your study. And I'll tell you in a few minutes what I want you to do with them. But But I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and look at verse 9 with me. In fact, you could kind of go through like I did in my Bible and highlight and circle certain words, the word forget. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, after he was talking about giving the don't add to, don't take from God's word, he comes to verse 9, he says, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen." You know what they had just seen, don't you, leaving Egypt? "And lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren." And so he's been talking about things, please don't forget. Don't forget what I've done for you. All the miracles that I've worked, all the good things that I've done for you. In verse 13, he talked about this covenant that he had made called the Ten Commandments. And I'll talk about that in a moment. Look down at verse 23, though. "Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. And make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord God has forbidden you. For the Lord God is a consuming fire." And then over in chapter 6, there's some other verses in between there, but let's just look at chapter 6 and in verse 12. "Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." You see a certain theme that's going on here? Turn over to chapter 8. Look at verse 11 with me. "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command you today." Then look, if you would, at verse 19 of that same chapter. "Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish." And then over in chapter 9, verse 7. "Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord." And we could go on and on through the book of Deuteronomy. And if you just get you a concordance, you can look down and see how many times he warns them, "Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget the commands that I've given to you. Don't forget all the things I've done for you." But all you got to do is turn to the book of Joshua and then Judges, and you will see again and again, the Bible says, Israel forgot. Israel forgot. And through the book of Judges, you know the cycle of the sin, and then they're turning back to God, and Him sending a deliverer, and then an oppressor comes when they forget once again. And so God has to let us know that He knows that we forget. How many of you have forgotten the day of your baptism? Do you know what your spiritual birthday is? A lot of people don't. I ask them, I just kind of put them on the spot sometimes and say, "When were you born?" And they'll tell me, you know, their physical birthday. I said, no. I mean, when were you spiritually born? When's your spiritual birthday? Which one should you celebrate more? Which one's more important? I was born physically October 18th, 1972 or something like that. But I was spiritually born April the 26th, 1964. That's the day I want to remember more than the ones coming up in a few days. When we think about our spiritual birth into Jesus Christ, don't forget that day, because it's a day you ought never forget. It's the day you name the name and we're born again into the kingdom of God. But when I think about things that we do forget, some of these are just fine. I forget my keys all the time. The wallet or the homework, I used to forget that often. It was willful forgetting. Did you leave the stove on? If any of you have some problems with that, you might want to run home and check. Why did you come upstairs? That's the one my wife is always pointing the finger at me on. I'll come upstairs and I say, "Why did I come up here?" But those are all things that it's okay to forget. But I'll tell you, there's some things I leave on my wall at my office that I read, try to read all the time. It's a list of 25 things I hope to never forget. Rules for my life, and you can look at them on the chart, or I'm not going to go over them here. But things that I've just kind of sat down and thought through. It took me a long time to think them through. Things that I said, if I can do these things, if I can remember these things, particularly the last ones that are here, who can I influence for good today? And what's the blessing that I can count today that I didn't think about yesterday? And I try to challenge myself to always add one more. One more person to influence. I have a saying that I try to always get mad. M-A-D. That word simply means, an acronym to me, meaning make a difference. Make a difference today in some child's life or some person's life. If nothing else, influence somebody today. If you have to go down to the nursing home and meet somebody new, influence them for good today and for God. But for those things, I also have a little game that I play, and I work with it with children all the time, and I want you in the audience just to do it with me. You see it there on your outline if you like to follow. It's a simple little game that I play. I do it every morning when I get up. I get on my walking shoes, and I go outside, and I start walking. And through the course of the walk, normally I just used to go into neutral, and I'd think about all kinds of silly things, meaningless things. But I've tried to restructure that so I can think on and become more disciplined in the way that I think and start my day. And so I'll play this little game with you. And I know it's a silly little game, but it's a very productive game as far as I'm concerned. And they're all starting from head, and they go down to your feet. And they all start with L. I have to do something to help me remember it. And so I push my finger, and I do this all course during a day, especially when you see I get to the third one. That's the one I have to use the most. But I'll just start, and as I'm walking, got my hands in my pocket if it's cold or outside, and I'll just start walking. I'll just press the little finger, and the first thing that I do is I say, I'm going to learn something today. I'm going to learn something from God's Word. I'm going to learn something from people. I'm going to learn something, and I'm going to write it down, and I'm going to have learned that today. I'm going to learn something new today. And then I move to the next finger, and I think about things I can do, particularly looking, and I always look up. When I'm walking, I always think and look for a cloud somewhere, because the Bible says the Lord ascended into the heavens in a cloud, and the angel said He will come in like manner. So every time I look up and I say, Lord, is it today? Are You coming back today? And then I look around, and I look around to see if people that I might be able to come and say I love You to, or to be able to think those thoughts toward others. But to look up and to look around. Then the third one is, I press this one, I have to do this one a lot. If you ever see me standing there looking you in the eye, and maybe my eyes are starting to wander, what I may be doing, have to do is, I put my hand in my pocket and I start pressing this finger really hard. I squeeze it till there's blood coming out sometimes. And what it reminds me of is, listen. Rick, you pay attention. Listen to the person, look them in the eye, and be able to repeat back what they said to you, because my mind wanders. I'm a man. But it also reminds me to listen to God, to listen to what God has to say today. It tells me to listen. And then the next one is to live. And that's another one. I use that with the nose. So I go to the head, then I go to the eyes, I go to the ears, then I go to the nose. And that's just take a deep breath and say, Rick, today you're going to live. You're going to live it to its full. Today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Live today to its full. When you go to bed tonight, when you close your eyes in the darkness of the night, when you pillow your head, Rick, don't regret what you did today. Live for God. And then I laugh. And this is one thing that you don't have to remind me to do too much of, but I need to remind myself sometimes that life, we need to be able to relax a little bit. We need to be able to laugh at ourselves. Don't get so serious about your own self that you can't laugh at yourself. And laugh at others and laugh with others. To be able to enjoy life, to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. On the next hand, then, I start pressing with a thumb, and I work my way around, and here's the live, laugh, and the love. And I look back up to God, and I say, I love You, because God wants to hear me say that. And He wants to see me live that. And then when I see all of you, do you realize when I walk into every building, I've tried to program my mind to say to each one of you, silently and to myself most of the time, but I say, I love You, and I love You, and I love You, and I love You. It reminds me that this world is what people are what this world is all about. It's all about the people, God's people. And all of them are made in the image of God. And to remind myself to always love, truly love people with all of my heart, as I love God with all of my heart. And then the next one is to let go. I'm always full, as a preacher, I'm always full of anxieties and worries about things. And the Bible says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I have to quote that and think about that every single day. Let go. Let go of those anxieties and let God take control. Have faith in God that He'll get you through this. And then I began to make a list with one hand. And that is, I try to always name five on this hand, always name five physical blessings. Every day try to add to it. Believe me, there's tens of thousands of blessings in your life. I'm thinking a lot about nowadays my eyesight and about my hips and about other things along that line. Things that I didn't think about much before, I took them for granted. There's always things that you can add to your life. And then on the other hand, then I try to always add five more spiritual blessings. And all you got to do is be reading. If you're reading your Bibles, you'll come up with those really a lot more quickly than you think you will. You might think, well, I'll run out after 10 or 15 days. No, you won't. If you really put on the thinking cap, you can always name five more spiritual blessings. And then finally, with your feet, you lead. Be an example to the believers in love and in faith and in purity. Be an example. Lead. Get out and work and lead and show others by example. Let your light so shine before men they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. All of us are leaders of this world. If we're Christians, we will judge the world, the Bible says. So we must lead the world. And those things being true, those are finger reminders that we have. It helps me every day to remind myself of what life is about. I know it's a little game that I play, but I encourage you to think about it for your own life. You can make up your own, do whatever you want, but always think about what you can be doing to better your life. You know, all through the Bible, God constantly gave reminders. Even in the Garden of Eden, He even gave man something to do and gave him a checklist, and that's what I'm talking about tonight. God's always, you know, when somebody becomes a Christian, I always hold up a Bible and I said, can you learn this? And they all get intimidated by that because they say, it's a big book and I don't understand half the words in it. And I know it is intimidating. It becomes very a daunting task to thumb through a Bible and say, you know, God's asking you to learn this and there will be a test. And so what are you going to do? Well, I try to break it down into bite-sized pieces. And what I try to do is to say, God, all through the Scriptures, has given little checklists, little charts that we would do to a child and be able to break it down easily so that you can understand it much easier. And so I've looked through the Scriptures to try to find them. God's checklist. I didn't make these up. God made them up. And He says, if you do these things, you will never stumble, and so an entrance will be granted to you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what He said in 2 Peter 1. We'll look at that in a minute. If you add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, these eight things, if you do these things, you will never stumble, and so an entrance will be granted to you into the everlasting kingdom. If I do those eight things, I'm going to go to heaven? Peter said, that's right. Well, that breaks it down into where I can understand it. I can get my arms around that. I can understand that's just kind of a summary of a Bible, that I can do those things. So as we look back over that, you know, He says, tend the garden, keep the garden, don't eat from the kogi tree. My mother used to always say, the kogi tree, you know, the knowledge of good and evil. Let's kind of break it down that way, and she just called it the kogi tree. And so those are some things that God said. If you do those things, you'll stay in the garden forever and ever. Amen. Well, he ate from the kogi tree, got kicked out. He had only a list of four things, and he blew it. Then we go to the Bible, and we begin to see things like the Ten Commandments. You ever wonder why he called them the Ten Commandments? If you stop and break it down, what did Jesus later say was the greatest of all commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is likened to it, what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Look at those Ten Commandments and tell me you can't find the summation of that there. The first four, loving God. The next six, love man. Just kind of the way that God broke it down. If you do these things, you will have kept the Ten Commandments. And so love God with all your heart. Love your fellow man. And that's basically what God says is the Ten Commandments, is what they're really about. And so, if you really love man, you'll never murder, you won't commit adultery, you won't steal, you won't covet, you won't do those things if you truly love them, if you understand what the word love means. And so all through the Bible, God constantly is giving us reminders. Remember when, I love this in John 14, where Jesus had been telling them all these different things for these 3.5 years, and you can imagine their head was swimming when he told them, you're going to be sent out into the world and you're going to have to preach all this. And I don't know about you, but that would be one daunting task. It was my greatest joy in life to get a report card and to see that I made C's, because my motto in life was C's get degrees. Because I wasn't going to do any better than that, because The only reason I went to school was so I could be on a sports team. But when we get to this thing of being reminded that where there is going to be a test and you better make an A on this when you stand before God in judgment, well, what were the apostles going to do when the Bible, Jesus said, I'm going to send a comforter of the Holy Spirit, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you. And I'm sure they're going, whew, that's good, because we weren't going to remember all these things. And they couldn't possibly remember all the things that he taught. If all the things that Jesus had ever taught and done had been collected in the Bible, the libraries of the world themselves, John later told us in John 21, could not contain the things that he did. And so now he says, I'll bring to your remembrance these things. So God understands that we have a memory problem. Over in 2 Peter, I was reading a moment ago, I want you to look at it with me. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look at it beginning in verse 9. After he gives this list that I gave you a moment ago in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, he says in verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted. He's got myopia. That's what the word actually is. It's myopic. You're short-sighted. You're nearsighted. Even to blindness, and has forgotten, there it is, that he was cleansed from his old sins. That's why I asked you a moment ago, do you remember the day you were baptized? You remember that? You remember the feeling you had? Let me tell you something. If you remember that every single day, it'd be pretty hard for Satan to ever get you. It'd be real hard for Satan to tempt you to sin. If you could remember the day that you felt the huge, huge weight of sin, the burden of sin lifted from you, and you remembered how good and fresh and new you felt, and the resolve that would be there and was there, that you were not going to go out here and sully that garment that Jesus had given you that was now white as snow. You wouldn't do that. You felt so alive and so refreshed and so new and clean. Why do we sin then? Because we've forgotten that we were cleansed from our sins. That's why it's important that you remember the day of your baptism and you remember that new birth and you remember the feeling that you had and you make that same resolve again. He says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. And so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Peter's saying, you got a good forgetter. You're going to forget things, and I'm going to remind you of these things. And when I die, I'm going to have this inspired epistle sitting there for you to read again and again and again and again, so that you will not forget the things that were required of you, so that you will have that entrance into the everlasting kingdom. I want you to go to heaven, and I want to go to heaven. The only way we're going to get there is if we're constantly reminding one another. Be strong. Be courageous. God is here. God is with us. God will supply every avenue of escape from every temptation. James tells us in chapter 1, if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's likened to these things. And he says, immediately he forgets what kind of a man he was. You look in the mirror and you see this smudge of peanut butter, as Dee Bowman used to say. You get this smudge of peanut butter on there and you think, you know, I need to get that clean. And all of a sudden the phone rings. And you run off to the room, you pick it up, you walk out and you forget to look back in the mirror again. You walk around that day and you get home that night and you still have that smear of peanut butter on the side. And you think, what has everybody been thinking about me? You forget. You look and you forget. And you read the Bible and you say, I need to do that. And then you walk away and you forget to do it. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of this work, this man will be blessed in his life. Let's not forget. Let's go through some of these. We're not going to take time to read all these tonight. I'm going to leave that for you to study. But I'm telling you, I found some checklists that God has left me. And I put these together in a little booklet for you because I keep one, too, just like that. And I make it my practice to go back and look at these checklists. You know, when you have a long lot of things to do each day, my wife keeps a to-do list going all the time. And she's then checking them all off. And And so it reminds her to get these things done today or this week or this month or this year. Spiritually, I need that. And God says, I know you need that. You're a forgetful person. All of you are. And so here's what I want you to do. And so Jesus gets up on the Sermon on the Mount. He sits down and the crowds gather around. He says, and he opens his mouth and he taught them saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they'll obtain mercy. And then he talks about, blessed are those who are pure in heart. They'll see God. When's the last time you said you could see God? Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Eight things. Eight beautiful attitudes. The beatitudes, the blessedness of life, the happiness of life. You want to love life and see good days? The beatitudes are the way. And so use those as kind of your jump-off place in life because Jesus did. This is Christianity 101. This is the basics of Christianity. And Jesus said this is the Bill of Rights of a child of God. And if you'll do these things, he started off by saying, yours is the kingdom of heaven. He ended by saying, "This yours is the kingdom of heaven." And in between, he put the meat between those two pieces of bread. And he said, here is kingdom living here and now. And if you'll do these things, you will be the salt of the earth. You will be the light of the world, which is the next verses that he used here. And you'll give glory to God, as we spoke about in our lesson yesterday. If I want to give glory to God, if I'll just keep the Beatitudes, if I'll be poverty stricken in spirit, if I'll mourn over my sins and I'll be meek or humble or listen to what God has to say, if I'll hunger and thirst for righteousness, if I'll show mercy to others, I'll receive mercy. And I want to see God so that I'll keep my heart pure. And all of those things that he lists there, if I'll do those things, that's just a checklist. Now think about those all the time. You go through and if you run out of things to do when you're walking and going through your finger exercises, then quote some of these verses. Store them up in your heart so that you might not sin against God. The one in Acts 2, you think, well, that's a checklist? And the answer to that, you bet it is. For here you find the 3,000 that just obeyed the gospel. They that gladly received the word were baptized. The very next verse then tells us, and they continued steadfastly. And I want you to think about this for a second, these four. Why I call them a checklist. They're all talking about love, every one of them. Loving the word, a.k.a. the apostles' doctrine. Loving the fellowship with the apostles. The apostolic example and to love the life of a Christian is what that means. And to love the brethren. Loving the Lord and remembering Him. And loving God and communicating with Him. Four easy things that the Bible says these early Christians did. And that's why the church later in verse 47, and daily the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. If we did these four things, this church would be adding almost daily too. And then he goes on, he starts talking about other checklists. And there's many others, but I want you to think with me about Romans. Kind of going through some of these books. There's a checklist almost in every epistle. That kind of summarizes what the book is about. That's my challenge as I read the Bible. I always look for these little checklists that summarize the book. And I think this one does here. Romans 1 through 11 are very doctrinally oriented. It's very tough reading. It's hard. It's the hardest study in the entire Bible, although it's most rewarding to me, the book of Romans. But then you come to chapter 12 after you go through this hard read of 1 through 11. And you come to chapter 12 and it begins with the words therefore. What's the old saying? When you see the word therefore, you ask, what's it there for? It's a conclusion. And so he's concluding by saying, okay, look, I told you all those hard things, but let me summarize it for you. Let me give you in a checklist. And he starts, da, 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 and he kind of runs it all off and he says, look, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then he starts rattling off all of these things that he's asking you to think about and to check off. Think about your own gift. What can you do to transform your life, to make it no longer conformed to the world, but changed to give God glory. To know what my gift is, to abhor what is evil, to cling to what is good, to rejoice in hope, to be devoted to prayer, to practice hospitality. In other words, things that I can do. I can get my arm around each one of those things. It might be a long list, but he's only asking, well, pick one then. Pick one today or this week or this month and concentrate on being given to hospitality. And if you'll do that, you're unlike 99.999% of the rest of the world. You're different if you show hospitality. You're different if you are devoted to prayer, because I guarantee, or as Wilson would say, I guarantee, that there's very few people that are devoted to prayer. I mean devoted to it. Live peaceable with all men. See, that book of Romans kind of summarized what really the book is about. You go to the book of 1 Corinthians, just kind of picking out another book. Here's one that I found in 1 Corinthians that I like. It reminds me again of what life is about. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart and loving your fellow man. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. So he summarizes by saying, love is a verb. You want to know, how can I truly love God? And he says, act. Do. Do something. Love is a verb. And read all those things that you have to do to show love. It's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's something that's an action from the hand or from the feet or from the mind that you're doing toward others. And so I remind myself, if you're going to love your wife as Christ loved the church, there's the agape that Christ showed. Rick, if you really want to prove your love to Benita, do this right here. If you're lacking in your marriage right now, if something's wavering, if something is just not what it used to be or what you want it to be, go to 1 Corinthians 13 and check off those things as you do them. And I guarantee you, your marriage will get better. In Galatians chapter 5, you ask yourself, well, what's this one about? It's not really things I can get out here maybe do all the time, but it's a reflection as I look back on my life and I ask sometimes, because I'm wondering and I'm worrying, is God pleased with me? Is He happy with me? Am I being well-pleasing to Him, as the Bible says over and over again? And Galatians tells me and reminds me, Rick, check your life off. You know, like the airplane pilots, when they get in there and you have your co-pilot and your pilot, and the pilot runs off this list of things and he goes, check, 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 lights, check, brakes, check. What I'm doing here in Galatians 5, I'm going to walk in the Spirit so I will not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. And there's the fight we all have. And I want to be right with God. I want to feel like I'm living life to its full. A while ago when I talked about going through these, about living life, when I got to number 4, live life today. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, I look back at the fruit of the Spirit just to make sure that I'm walking with God like Enoch did. When you walk with God, love. Are you experiencing love, Rick, the true love that God has promised you? Are you experiencing the joy of life? Are you really understanding that life is good because you're living it for God and for His glory? Do you experience the peace that surpasses all understanding, that's really truly guarding your heart and your mind in Christ? Are you showing patience and long-suffering and endurance in your faith? Are you feeling and is it reflecting in your life the kindness that Jesus has shown you that you can now manifest to others? The goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and even the self-control. And you work through those lists of things in your life and you ask yourself, are those things coming to my life? And you might say, well, there are certain degrees. Yeah, all of them to a degree. But are you experiencing a little of each of those things? Because if you're walking in the Spirit, it's a byproduct of walking in the Spirit. You will have not just one of those, you'll have all of those to a degree. And as you grow continually in your life, you'll get them into a higher degree. Believe me, all of those things are far greater in my life now than they were April the 26th, 1964. And I'd like to think they're coming in your life too. And if they're not, then you start walking in the Spirit. You get others to help you to walk in the Spirit. And these things will come to your life. Even if all the outside circumstances of life are pouring down upon you. If you get news of cancer, if you get news of these diseases and these other things happening in your life, the loss of a loved one, you can still experience, as God has promised, all of these things every day even in the midst of the worst turmoils of life surrounding you. Jesus had them all in the Garden of Gethsemane when he knew he was about to die and he was sweating great drops of blood. He still experienced all of these things to a degree, as we see. Just like our country doesn't sometimes realize and grasp the fact that we're still at war, we go along our merry way and we never see the fact that we're still at war in this world. You know, you can talk to Brother Stevens and others and you can realize we are at war in this world. What about spiritually, though? We live in such a good time. We live in such a marvelous time of God, of what He's done for us. And we don't get up and we don't sense there's the smell of battle all around us. We walk through the day and we don't see the roaring lion stalking to devour. We don't grasp that He's right on our heels. And He's looking for our weakness. And He's going after our very souls. If only Adam and Eve in the garden had seen what was going on, they wouldn't have been so quick to eat the fruit. And we wouldn't be so quick to fall to the temptations of life. If we would have, each morning when we get up, and this is my checklist, when I walk out into the world, here's one of the things I try to get myself to always do. Rick, stand in front of the mirror. When I'm going to the bathroom to comb my hair and all those things, before you walk out, you do this. Rick, do you have the helmet of salvation on? Are you thinking about you're saved and you're going to stay saved today? Look at your breastplate of righteousness. Are you trying to be right with God? Is it protecting your heart that I want to be right with God today? When you take the fatigues off tonight, make sure that's what you are. You're right with God. Around your belt is girt the loins of truth. Rick, are you learning some of the truth today that sets you free? You'll know the truth that'll make you free. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Rick, have you shared the gospel? Have you thought about others today with the gospel of peace, the good news that can save others? Then that'll help save you. In your left hand, Rick, what are you holding? Are you holding the shield of faith? You can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, because he's going to sure throw them today. Maybe the lust of the flesh, it might be the lust of the eyes, it might be the pride of life, but all those things that are in the world, he's going to pull out of something in his arsenal today to throw at you. Are you going to be able to ward it off? And then are you going to go on the offensive with the shield, with the sword of the Spirit in your right hand? Now when I stand and I look at myself and I say, Rick, are you dressed for war? One of the common sayings I have at church when I meet people in the foyer and things, and I said, I always ask them, how goes the battle? How goes the war? Did you win the battle today? Do you feel do you smell the dust in the air? Do you smell the smell of battle? Do you know that you're at war? Do you feel the constant pressure of the wicked one? Did you win the battles today? Do you feel good about that? And if you did fall, did you pray? Did you ask God to forgive and to make you better? That's what we need to be doing with the Christian armor. I love that passage. It tells me how I can ward off. When the Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God will provide a way of escape, this is how He does it. It's not an easy thing, but you put on the fatigues and you go to battle. The one in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Whatsoever things are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and of good report, things that are virtuous and things that are praiseworthy, things that are worthy to be brought before the throne of God, you think on those things. You think with God. You think of God. And you'll think right thoughts. As I brought out in the sermon yesterday, the omniscience of God, the all-seeing eye of God, He sees, He walks, He runs to and fro upon the earth to see who's going to have a heart for Him. I want to have that mind for Him. I want to think on things that are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report. If you think on those things, you're thinking on right things. My kids used to come up to me and they would say, I'm bored. I'm just bored. And I say, okay, I got some things for you to do. I'm not bored no more. You ever done that with kids? I'm bored. And you say, okay, I'll think of some things for you to do. And then all of a sudden, things change. If you ever get bored as a Christian, this is my bored passage. Okay, pick something. God says, I got some things you can do. And he gives me this list. And he says, pick one, anyone. Go at it today. You bored? Then get up and go across the tracks and find somebody less fortunate than you are and lend a helping hand. Get down on your knees and pray. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Do not quench the spirit. All those are things he says, work on those things. Abstain from every form of evil. Those are my passages that say this is Christian conduct. This is Christian daily living. This is getting right down into the trenches. So I do those things. That's just one in 1 Corinthians. Over in 1 Timothy, since I'm a preacher, you might not have this one in your list, but it's certainly in mine. And I put this one up there for Mark's sake. He desperately needs this. The preacher's life. Reminding ourselves of what we are, who we are, and what we're supposed to be. Preach the word. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Give yourselves entirely to it. The work of a preacher is 24/7, 365. I used to think, boy, people who said they want to be a preacher, I said, you don't have any idea what you're wanting to do, what you're getting yourself into. It's nonstop work if you do it right. Why? Because you're simply trying to save yourself. And a few people that'll hear you. I look back on my life and I'm so grateful that God gave me this opportunity. I've never one day regretted being a gospel preacher. I've not always been a very good one, but I've never regretted the decision to become one. A few years ago, I was made an elder. So I had this list. And just as it was important to think it through before you became an elder, it's doubly important to think it through once you become one. Because if you ever cease to be qualified in any one of these, you better step down. Because they're all there for a purpose. You're made a shepherd over souls, to watch for souls, because you have these qualities. That doesn't mean to perfection, certainly not. Otherwise, none of us would be elders. But it means that these are things that are necessary for leadership. If you ever wanted a crash course on leadership, whether it be business, home, parents, or whatever it might be. There's your list right there. That's God's standard for leadership right there. Be it military, I don't care what it is. That's the greatest list you'll ever have for true leadership. What about you Christian men? God's got a list for you. They're in Titus. Those who are older men, to be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. What about you younger men? Well, be sober-minded, example of good works, and doctrinal integrity, be reverent, incorruptible in your doctrine, and in a reputation of a sound speech. Do you women? He's got a list for you. Be reverent in your behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good, and admonishing the young women. To do what? To love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, and obedient to their husbands. There's a list that'll keep you busy all day long. And God's given you this list and says, whichever of these four categories, and we're all in one of those, you might want to think you're a younger man when you might be an older man. Just ask a child. You find out which category you're in, but you got to put, okay, where am I in my life's walk, and what must I be thinking about as God has designed it and as He has listed it? Remind yourselves of that often. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we listed a moment ago about the divine nature has given us these things, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And he says, then therefore give all diligence to add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And if these things be in you and abound, you'll make your calling and your election sure. And I tell you what, that's a great list for me. Every day to think about, am I growing in my faith a little bit? Am I growing in my virtue, my moral excellence, the arte? Am I growing in my knowledge? Am I growing in my self-control? Am I growing in these things? Because God says, if I do these things, you're going to heaven. You're getting your ticket punched. Just remind yourself of that. We come to the conclusion of our lesson tonight. There's one more reminding lesson. And that is, are you even a believer? Are you truly a Christian? Are you a child of the God of heaven? For we can go through the Bible and we can read through the book of Acts and through the epistles, and we can see the plan that God has so clearly laid out. It's a checklist, if you please. Where He said that you've got to hear the gospel. You've got to pay attention to what God has said. And then you've got to believe it. Is the evidence there? Is the faith substantiated by the evidence? Then you make a decision. A decision means you burn the bridge and you cut off all retreat. You've made a decision. You're either for Him or you're against Him. You make that decision. You name the name. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You're baptized. And I'll tell you what, you burned your bridge. You cut yourself off from the world. And now you've got to transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. Now it's a new life. It's a new way of life. And it's the greatest life there is to live. You become a child of God, then you're ready. You're ready for the judgment day. And 2 Peter chapter 3 is the last list I ask for you to consider. For on that day, the Bible tells us there's going to be a great burning of this world and all the works that are therein. Nothing's going to be left of anything you can see with the naked eye. All the things that you've stored up in this world are going to be all consumed and annihilated. The only thing you can take with you is what you've already sent ahead. That's the life that you've lived. And that's who you are. And if you're a child of God, if you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, then life has just begun for you. You will not hear the words, "Depart from me. I don't know who you are." Instead, you'll hear the words, "Well done. Come be with me forever and ever." And I hope that's the greatest list that you've thought about. That you want to be a Christian. And you thought seriously about the judgment day, that all things are going to be brought before the God of heaven. We're going to give an account of everything we've done in this life, whether good or evil. And you thought that through, and tonight you're ready to make that decision. I hope that you'll make that decision right now. While together we stand, while we sing.